very interesting parasha, especially on the Yovel, or Year of Jubilee. And that's what I want to speak on today. So let us pray. Abba Father, open our eyes so that we will see the wondrous things from your Torah today. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Be nice if I could read some things at times. Praise Yah that I've got a computer screen that I can make it just that little bit bigger. Yah is so good. So, today I want to start off with some scriptures. I've titled my message Atonement, Yehovah is with us. And Yah is with us in all things. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter if doctors make mistakes and cause you to go through lots of pain and all sorts of things. Yah is with us. You know, and as long as all is right with my soul, that is what matters. And so today I want to look at this year of Jubilee and what it really means to us. So let's go back to Vayikra or Leviticus 25. We'll read 8 to 10 to start with. You are to count 7 Shabbatot of years, 7 times 7 years, that is 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a blast on the shofar. You are to sound the shofar all through your land, and you are to consecrate the 50th year. Proclaiming freedom throughout the land to all its inhabitants, it will be a Yovel for you. You will return everyone to the land he owns, and everyone is to return to his family. That'd be wonderful if that could happen today, wouldn't it? Then if we go further down in verses 23 to 28, the land is not to be sold in perpetuity, so you don't buy it forever, because the land belongs not to you, it belongs to Yah. Okay? Because you are only meant to be foreigners and temporary residents with me. Therefore, when you sell your property, you must include the right of redemption. Watch that word, redemption. That is, if one of you becomes poor and sells some of his property, his next of kin can come and buy back what his relative sold. If the seller has no one to redeem it, but becomes rich enough to redeem it himself, he will calculate the number of years the land was sold for, refund the excess to its buyer, and return to his property. If he hasn't sufficient means to get it back himself, then what he has sold will remain in the hands of the buyer until the year of Yovel. The year of Yovel you probably know or have heard of as the year of Jubilee. It means, I'll go on to that a bit later. In the Yovel, the buyer will vacate it and the seller return to his property. And we go further down in Vayikra 25 into verses 35 to 44. It says, if a member of your people has become poor so that he can't support himself among you, you are to assist him as you would a foreigner or a temporary resident, so that he can continue living with you. So there was no one that was left destitute. They didn't have the homeless, they didn't have the people without food, because everyone helped each other. Do not charge him interest. How much do people charge interest these days? Or otherwise profit from him, but fear your Elohim, so that your brother can continue living with you. Do not take interest when you loan him money, or take a profit when you sell him food. I am Yehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to give you the land of Canaan and be your Elohim. If a member of your people has become poor among you and sells himself to you, Do not make him do the work of a slave. He's not a slave in your home. Rather, you are to treat him like an employee or a tenant. He will work for you until the year of your vel. Then he will leave you and land. Sorry, I've got to get my eyes together again. Then he will leave you, he and his children with him, and return to his own family and regain possession of his ancestral land. For they are my slaves whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, they are not to be sold as slaves. Do not treat him harshly, but fear Elohim. Concerning the men and women you may have as slaves, you are to buy men and women slaves from the nations surrounding you. So you can use your fellow countrymen, but you can't in your property to help you work your property, but you don't treat them as slaves. So this chapter speaks of the Yovel, of two things, of Yovel and then redemption. And Vayikra 25 teaches us also that the special year of Yovel, or you, as I said, you might know it as the year of Jubilee, which occurs every 50 years. Now, that is twice in one century. Now, the way we count 50, you'd count 50 and then you'd finish the 50, then you'd go one. Then four, you'd never fit two into one century, would you? But when they count their 50, Jubilee, I haven't said this, but it's actually an anglicised word that's put in the King James Version. So it's a word that's been transliterated from another language into English. And there's a lot of similar sounding words from the Hebrew Yovel that gets to that word Jubilee. And as we know, that as we read further in our scriptures today on the Yom Kippur, they had to have the blast of the shofar to bring in the year of Yovel, and that is also known as a Yovel. That blast is known as a Yovel. So as I was saying, during the 50th year, the 50th year is actually the first year of the next count of 49. Because every 7 years they had to rest the land, didn't they? And after seven lots of seven, that's the 49th year, they rested the land. Then they had the 50th year. But the 50th year is actually also the first year. And we'll go back late, we'll go further on into what we know as the eighth day, which is also the first day. So, but that's what the scriptures are referring to. The lands and even Israelite people were sold by Israelites in the time of need, but they always returned to the original owners on the day, on the time of Yovel. So you've got to realize, and I noted it when we read it, that Elohim said the land should not be sold forever. It wasn't sold for perpetuity. That means forever. He gave them the land of Canaan, but they didn't have to work it or pay for it. They paid not a cent. They just went in and it was theirs. What was growing there was theirs. What they could have it. He just gave it to them and he would never let them lose it. He made that promise. He actually said it was his land, not their land. So they can't ever claim Israel as their land. It's Yah's land. That's why I like to refer to it as the promised land, because he promises that we'll all have it back one day. That's his promise, and we have to stick to his word. So they were never meant to lose it. Yehovah actually said it was his land, and they were more or less like boarders staying with him. In verse 23, I'll read it again. The land is not to be sold. I'm not too sure, is it there again? The land is not to be sold in perpetuity because the land belongs to me. It's pretty clear, isn't it? You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. So they could not sell it since it was really not their own to sell anyway. but they were only tenants. There was also the thought that Yah does not give us blessing only to see us lose it. He doesn't bless us and take it away. He's not an Indian giver. He made sure that by the security of the Yovel and the redemption that we get it back. Back at the time when you are struck with poverty for some reason and had to sell your land, the buyer had to understand that you would be able to receive it again by paying for it if you came up with the money later on, that is redeeming it. Some you paid it back. That's the redemption. You do something to get it redeemed. Otherwise, you waited for the Yovel year and it was given back to you free of charge. You didn't have to pay any more. All right, and when you sold it, you only sold it according to the years left until it was the Yovel year. So if it was the first year, you sold it for a lot more than if it was at the 48th year. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So it was all done in Yah's ways aren't our ways. He is just so perfect in how he does things. And it's just so different today. You know, people are poor today and they have to sell their property. There's no way they can get it back on the 50th year. We don't even know when the 50th year is these days. And the government today wants to charge you interest for everything, just for owning property, just for having your house on land. All those rates they charge you, that's your land. You paid for it. But the government still keeps taking money from you every 3 months to pay for the fact that you've got a house on your land. I mean, they know how to get at us. So the same applied when people were sold. Yehovah would not allow a buyer of a person to think the person was their slave. He brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and his people were never to be treated as slaves again. They would not be ruled over with rigor ever again as the Egyptians ruled over them with rigor. They would be regarded as hired servants, for they would return home in the year of Yovel, or the year of Jubilee. So sold servants and sold land lost due to poverty were all restored in the year of Yovel. Yeshua also picked up on this, and he spoke of it in a spiritual sense at the very start of his ministry. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Yeshua returned to the Galilee in the power of the Ruach, and reports about him spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone respected him. Now, when he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, doesn't say where he was born. Do you notice that? Where he was brought up. He was born in Beit Lechem or Bethlehem. So many people think he was born in Nazareth. Actually, the people of the day thought he was born in Nazareth. But he was actually brought up in Nazareth. So where he'd been brought up on Shabbat, he went to the synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Ruach of Yehovah is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, and to proclaim a year of favor of Yehovah." What is the year of favor? Has everyone been scratching their head wondering what it was? Think about what we've read today. The year of favor can only be the year of Yovel or Jubilee. He's proclaiming a year of favor of Yehovah. But his year of favor doesn't go for 1 year. Because once you've accepted Yeshua, you've got Yovel for eternity. So after closing the scroll and returning it to the Shemash, He sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. Today, as you heard it read, the passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled. To proclaim a year of favor of Yehovah is proclaiming the year of Yovel or Jubilee. It is the time of redemption for the people. Only Yeshua had the way, was the way, or could be the way of our redemption. So this was the beginning of him showing us how he was going to redeem us. That was the statement that Yeshua made in reference to the year of favor of Yehovah. Blessings were always proclaimed at the beginning of the Yovel year. It was then Yehovah's acceptable time for the year of favor of Yehovah to come. This statement of Yeshua is actually saying that the entire Messianic age, not one long year of Yovel, had begun when Yeshua came and started ministering on this earth. That's the good news. If you didn't know what the good news was, believe me, that's the good news. And that the good news would be preached to who? Who are the people that benefit from the Yovel? The poor. It was the poor that needed the Yovel. So that was the good news that was preached to the poor. It was the poor who were sold as servants, who sold their lands in the day of the Tanakh. But there are those who are spiritually poor, who are sold under sin. Adam sold us out, each and every one of us out, under sin. The ultimate return to the original ownership is getting back to the status Adam had before he fell in the Garden of Eden. His fall made each and every one of us sinners. As a result, people became brokenhearted. They are captives in more way than one. The blind, they are blind to the spiritual things of this world, and many are bruised and battered because of their way of life. And that's more prevalent today than ever before. Not just by living, but by people they love. So the entire Kedavei HaShelekim is simply the proclamation that everything mankind lost when he was under sin in the days of Adam is going to be restored once again. This is the day of Shavuot or Pentecost, which was 50 days after the Sabbath. 50 days. Okay, we've got it coming up on the 4th of June. Following the Feast of First Fruits, that is the day Yeshua was resurrected. Now this is the way we count it. Yeshua was resurrected 3 days after he went into the tomb. On that third day after he was resurrected, and the Shabbat after that is when we start counting the 50 days. That's when we get to Shavuot. That's why Shavuot always falls on a Sunday. So let me emphasize that it is the day of Shavuot, not the year of Shavuot. But the year of Yovel is the 50th year. Shavuot, the 50th day. 7 sevens of weeks and the next day is Shavuot. 7 sevens of years and the next year is the Yovel. And I already showed you where Yeshua referred to the gospel age as the year of Yehovah. But by my reckoning, this makes the entire gospel age as the Shavuot age, or we might say Pentecostal age, if you said it in English. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about a denomination. This is not meant to confuse you. Pentecost was never meant to be a denomination. It's an experience. It's something we experience. It occurred in Acts chapter 2. Yah wants every person, every denomination, to have that Shavuot or Pentecost experience. He wants each and every one of you to have it. And as we know, there is a weekly seventh day Sabbath, or Shabbat as we call it, that occurs every 7 days. The seventh day of the week, as we know as Saturday, is the Sabbath. But the day of Shavuot was a 50th day Sabbath, which means it happens on the first day of the week. So it's a special Sabbath and always falls on the first day. In the Torah, there's also seventh year Shabbats. Every 7 years was a Shabbat or Shabbat year. It's like university professors have a sabbatical. That's the same thing. They go for a rest for a year. So on the seventh year, everything is rested. The entire year prohibited anyone from planting or reaping anything in the ground, except for taking food that was considered common for everyone to take freely. When Malachi and I last rested our garden on our last Shabbat year, it wasn't free for everyone, so people can't get into our yard and take from it, so we didn't harvest it either for that year. At the end of the year, we harvested an enormous amount of sweet potatoes. I think it was about 123 kilograms, wasn't it? Wow. Wasn't. How many?
No, it dropped 100 and you're off
the 23 kilograms? Yeah. Are you sure?
A laundry basket full.
A laundry basket full.
Wow.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I just gave them away and we made sweet potato soup all winter. It was really amazing. And they lasted. We kept them in a dark area and they just lasted the whole time. And so we really, you know, we benefited just by letting it sit there. We had some sweet potato soup just last week, too, from our own sweet potatoes. I love sweet potato soup. So no owner of the land could restrict food on his land and keep it for himself. Their land was an open field so other people could come in and harvest it. And in the manner in which the people survived was by Yah blessing the people and blessing the land. And on the sixth year, he would give them double portion of blessing. So they had enough to last them the sixth year and the seventh year, and enough for them to harvest on the eighth year before they reaped again. So it was a double portion of blessing. So there were 3 years from the sixth one that everything they had before they could reap again. So, and those years count until the next seventh year. So you don't say, oh, well, this is the sixth year, this is the seventh year, and I planted this year. That's the first year when you plant again. And then they reap. But they reap, often it's called the eighth year when they reap, that which is also the first year. And they eat what was in the sixth year. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, verses 4 and 5, if we could go there, please. But in the seventh year is to be a Shabbat of complete rest for the land, a Shabbat for Yehovah. You will neither sow your field nor prune your grapevines. You are not to harvest what grows by itself from the seeds left by your previous harvest. You are not to gather the grapes of your unattended vine. It is a year of complete rest for the land. So this is a Shavuot year. But then we have a Yovel year. And it's also a Shabbat year. If we go down in verses 11 and 12. The 50th year will be a Yovel for you. In that year you are not to sow, harvest what grows by itself, or gather the grapes on unattended vine. Because it is a Yovel, it will be holy for you. Whatever the field produce will be food for all of you. So these are the same laws for the Yovel as they were for the Shabbat. Now watch this. How many Sabbaths came between the year of Yovel, between each year of Yovel? How many years did I say was between each year of Yovel? How many? No, 50. The Sabbaths were 49, the Yovel was 50. But there was, the Yovel was always 50, but it was still one as well. So Vayikra in Leviticus 25:8 says, you are to count seven Shabbat of years, seven times seven, that is 49. Whoops, what have I done there? And between each year, Yovel year was 7 years of Shabbats, which would bring you to the 50th year, which is the Pentecost or Greek year. So there could be seven Sabbaths each year following no sowing or reaping. The last Sabbath year before the 50th was the 49th. So you've stopped on the 49th, you stop on the 50th. That means that there's two Sabbaths in a row, right? A double portion. The seventh Sabbath plus the 50th year of Yovel, 2 years in a row, no sowing, no reaping. There has to be double portions. And double portions are significant in scriptures. The firstborn son always received a double portion of land compared to all the other sons in a man's family. Okay, the girls didn't receive anything unless there were no sons. Elisha asked for a double portion of Eliyahu's anointing and power. And Eliyahu told him that it would be so if he could see him ascend. Elisha saw it and the mantle fell, the cloak fell, and we all know that he did much great work. We all know the story of Job or Eov and how he was given a double portion of everything after he had lost everything after being tried by Hasatan. If something is sold, it's only temporary in Yehovah's kingdom. The gospel or the good news truth is that Yeshua HaMashiach was slain from the foundation of the world, before even Adam sinned. There was a salvation plan set in place way back then. In other words, man would never, ever be lost. He would never be lost forever. Some people will be because they don't want Yeshua. But anyone that wants Yeshua, the plan was for Yeshua to come and man never to be lost forever. Yehovah would make sure that a part of mankind would come back. There would always be a remnant. Always be a remnant. Between each year, Yovel year, there were seven Shabbat years, and that would bring you to the 50th year of Yovel. So there will be seven Sabbaths. What have I had? It's gone back again. My thing's jumping around, sorry. So Yehovah always had a remnant. When his people were taken and destroyed and captured, he always made sure that there were some left to continue on. Many died and never returned, but there was always a remnant that stood in place for the whole group that did return. The Messianic community is the remnant of humanity that Yah brings back to himself. But there is also the redemption of anything in the land of Canaan that Yah gave to us as well. Spiritually speaking, Canaan is our blessing from Yehovah. And while we are in Canaan, with Yah's blessing, we may grow poor and lose a blessing that he gave us. When we look at Avraham, he came here 2,000 years after Adam. And I'm not saying born, but I'm saying when he was spoken to by Yah. It was 2,000 years. That is 40 Yovels. Or 40 times 50. Abraham was told by Yah leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. That was the 40th Yovel from Adam. Then the Exodus came, 2,500 years after Adam, 50 Yovels from Adam. It was also special. So it's seven Sabbaths is a special Sabbath. What would 50 Yovels be? A Yovel of Yovels. A Sabbath of Sabbaths of Sabbaths of Sabbaths. I don't think this is a coincidence that the Exodus occurred in that very year that was a Yovel of Yovels. The land he called his land in the Yovel of Yovels. What did Yovel involve? It involved setting slaves free, returning to the land that you had lost. This was the Exodus. Israel were actual slaves in Israel, in Egypt. Jewish history tells us that it was 50 days after exiting Egypt that they came to Mount Sinai and received the 10 mitzvot, or 10 words, or 10 commandments, whatever you want to call them. In Luke 28 and verse 31, it says, about a week after Yeshua said these things, he took Kepha, Yochanan, Yaakov with him and went up to the hill country to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became gleaming white. Suddenly there were two men with him, Moshe and Eliyahu. They appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Jerusalem. Yeshua was with them, but he was soon going to leave. In verse 31, the Hebrew Exodus is usually translated as the Greek decease. So in a lot of scriptures you'd read, spoke of his death. That's what you'll see in a lot of scriptures. But it wasn't his death, he didn't die. It speaks of his exodus. And we know that because he is still alive today. The Yovel of Yovels. This is when Yeshua would take the souls out of slavery to sin and bring them back to a place Yehovah Elohim first put mankind in Bereshit or Genesis. And Eliyahu was there, which brings the thought of what? Double portion. That was in a Yovel year. Yovel was the 50th year. It followed the seventh Shabbat year, the 49th year. And this speaks of double portion or double rest. Double portion and Yovel are connected. Double portion is involved from Eliyahu's presidents and Exodus. 50 Yovels is involved in Moshe's presence. Moshe spoke of the exodus of Yeshua, and Moshe occurred in a Yovel of Yovels. Eliyahu spoke of the exodus of Yeshua, and Eliyahu gave a double portion of his ministry to Elisha. When double portions are associated with Shabbats and Yovels. Even as though Moshe was there that day, because he foreshadowed in his exodus of souls from Egypt's slavery to their land, Yeshua's great exodus of souls from sin to the promised land of Yehovah's blessings was what was on that mountain. Something that is completely missed in when we read those scriptures if we don't know the meaning of the Yovel, of the year, and how it's all related. We can only tie it up if we've got knowledge of the Tanakh. Back to Eden, or Garden of Eden. Eliyahu was there because he also foreshadowed Yeshua, who would give a double portion to the Messianic community, as if it were Elisha. Yeshua said that the things he did and greater would the Messianic community do. Elisha, or Elisha, his correct pronunciation, did the same miracles Eliyahu did, but he did twice as many. Eliyahu did 7 miracles, Elisha did 14 miracles. Exodus, or Moshe, and his double portion, Eliyahu, both are Yovel issues. Abraham was 2,000 years from Adam, as I said. That was 50 times 40 or 40 Yovels. Exodus was 2,500 years from Adam, 50 times 50 or 50 Yovels. A Yovel of Yovels. King Shlomo ruled 500 years after Exodus. That is 50 times 60 or 60 Yovels. And what happened in the time of King Shlomo? Let us read from Malachi Aleph. It says in 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11, when the Kohanim came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of Yehovah, so that because of the cloud, the Kohanim could not stand up to perform their service. The glory of Yehovah filled the house of Yehovah. It was like a Shavuot day again, wasn't it? In those 500 years, Israel marched through the wilderness through Canaan and conquered it. A few centuries of judges, 3 great kings, Shaul, David, and then Shlomo. Then finally, after those 500 years, the land was given rest. They gave them the land as they should have it in King Shlomo's day with a temple. Exodus was finally fully realized. And before this, they had trouble from the Egyptians, the Canaanani, the Midianim, the Pelishtim, and others. After Shlomo, in Shlomo's time of reigning, there was rest. After Shlomo, they had trouble with the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. All gave them trouble. But they had rest with King Shlomo. No war existed during King Shlomo's reign. It's amazing when you look at it through the year of Yovel. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 3 to 6. But Elohim said to me, "You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a man of war. You have shed blood. However, Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel, chose me out of my father's whole family to be king over Israel forever. For he chose Yehuda to be the leader. And in the house of Yehuda, in the house of my father and among the sons of my father, it was his pleasure to make me king over all Israel and over all my sons. For Yehovah has given me many sons. He has chosen Shlomo as my son to sit on the throne of the kingdom of Yehovah over Israel. Moreover, he said to me, 'Shlomo, your son, will build my house and courtyards, for I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I shall be a father to him.'" 500 years after Shlomo, Israel was freed from Babylon. That's 3,500 years from Adam, or 50 times 70, that is 70 Yovels. Yah's people in these centuries fell badly. He had brought them out of Egypt and finally realized the fullness of the Exodus in the 60th Yovel. They had rest, no war, and their own land. It was the golden age of Israel. But they became slaves again to Babylon, and they worshipped other false gods. So Babylon was a judgment of religious sin. Babylon is man's religion. It is the religion of Orthodox Judaism today. They adhere to the Babylonian Talmud, and they give it precedence over the Tanakh. So these are the people who are called Jews. They're not Israelites, they're called Jews. Okay? They're different to the original Israelites, because the original Israelites followed Torah. The Jews follow the Talmud. It's a man-made religion It is a man-made religion that has held the people of Yah captive. Daniel and Nehemiah came along and fasted in repentance. So King Koresh, or Cyrus of Persia, told them to return and build the temple again. For Turtle Pearls today, I'm wanting to show you a one-hour YouTube video on how Judaism came about, the modern Judaism of today, and what they actually follow, so that everyone understands completely what they brought out of Babylon and what they're still following. Okay, so this is why, yes, I'm from the tribe of Yehuda, but I'm an Israelite. I don't class myself as a Jew. I don't follow the Babylonian Talmud. So in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, if we could go there, please. In the first year of Koresh, king of Persia, in order for the word of Yehovah prophesied by Yirmiyahu to be fulfilled, Yehovah stirred up the spirit of Koresh, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his whole kingdom, which he also put in writing as follows. Here is what Koresh, king of Persia, says. Yehovah, the Elohim of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms on earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem in Yehuda. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his Elohim be with him, and may he go up to Jerusalem in Yehuda and build the house of Yehovah, the Elohim of Israel, the Elohim who is in Jerusalem. Let every survivor, no matter where he lives, be helped by his neighbor with silver, gold, goods, and animals, in addition to the voluntary offerings of the house of, in addition to the voluntary offerings for the house of Elohim in Jerusalem. The heads of fathers, clans in Yehuda and Binyamin, along with the Kohanim, the Leviim, and indeed all those whose spirit Elohim had stirred up, set out to go up and rebuild the house of Yehovah in Jerusalem. Not everyone went. Not everyone was led to go. How sad is that? This decree was exactly 70 yovels from Adam. And again, captives and slaves were set free, and the land again was possessed. This is no coincidence. To me, it is a Yah incidence. He made it happen. And this decree is the basis of the following we find in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, for putting an end to the transgression, for making an end of sin, for forgiving iniquity, for bringing in an everlasting justice, for setting the seal on vision and prophet, and for anointing the especially holy place. Know therefore and discern that 7 weeks of years will elapse between the issue of the decrees to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until an anointed prince comes. It will remain built for 62 weeks of years with open spaces and moats, but these will be troubled times. Then after the 62 weeks, Mashiach will be cut off and have nothing. The people of a prince yet to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, but his end will come with a flood, and desolations are decreed until the war is over. He will make a strong covenant with the leaders for 1 week of years. For half of the week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offering. On the wing of detestable things, the desolator will come and continue until the already decreed destruction is poured out on the desolator. That is 490 years. Yeshua comes, which brings us 3.5 years after the stake. So we take those 490 years and it gives us 3.5 years after the stake and crucifixion of Yeshua. 4,000 years after Adam. 4,000 is 50 times 80, or 80 yovels. This is what I was trying to get to before. 490 more years brings us to 3.5 years after Yeshua was crucified. And 10 years after that was the 80th Yovel. The book of Acts actually covers this time period, 4,000 years from Adam. Speaking of 80 Yovels, if 7 is the end of the week, what would the 8th be? It is referred to as the beginning of the next week. It's similar, as I've said, to the year of Yovel. The first year of the next 7 is the Yovel. 8 also represents new beginnings. Since a week was only 7 days, the 8th was a new day. Does that mean that the 80th Yovel is something special? The 8th day is the first day after the previous week. So we've now come to a wonderful Yovel age, a new beginning given to us by Yeshua's death on the stake and imparting of the Ruach HaKodesh within us. If you are bound, then HaSatan is using you. When Israel was bound in Egypt, Pharaoh used them. When they were freed from Egypt, Yah used them. When you are free, Yah can use you. What ministries do you have today? Is Yah using them, or has HaSatan got his hand on them and bound them up? Every believer, I believe, must get this revelation that you are set free. We are in the 80th Yovel. Whatever you claim is hindering you from being used by Yah is really a lie from HaSatan himself, because Yeshua has set us free. I apply that to my left eye at the moment, because although it doesn't work like it should, and it doesn't work like it did before they did the last lot of surgery on it, and it's now worse than it was before, this is only for a short period of time. It's only a season. Because, yes, more operations are going to have to take place, but the point is, I will get through it. HaSatan is not going to win. HaSatan once gave me cancer of the mouth so I couldn't speak. He didn't win. You think he's going to take my eyesight from me to stop me reading? He's not going to win. It's up to us what we do with our lives and how we use it. He's not going to take things away from us. Even if we have difficulty getting through things, we will get through it. It's only a season. Sometimes it can be 2 seasons, but it's only a season. If you are not being used in the ministry that Yah wants you to be used in, have a look. Why is it that it's not working? What is it that's in my eye that's stopping me, that's keeping me in bondage? Because we can only do it ourselves. We can only look at ourselves and decide what we're going to do with that information. We all have a ministry, every single one of us. We are here to set the captives free. We are here to help all of those. We are in a Yovel year. It is up to us. But now let us go to Yeshua's remembrance service and give him thanks for all that he has given us. Because without him, we would not be in our Yovel year.